that can perform quality work and want to be appreciated. Regardless WTMZ, of your experience
98.9
level,
FM. If you WTMZ, have mechanical talent 910 AM and 94.7 FM.
I want to speak with you. I'm offering up to a $3,000 sign-on bonus.
Offering dine-in, takeout, and outdoor dining. Come grab a bite at a Charleston favorite, the Marina Variety Store and Restaurant.
WTMZ, 98.9 FM. WTMZ, 910 AM and 94.7 FM. W234CD, Dorchester Terrace, Brentwood, Charleston.
You're listening to ESPN Fan Talk with host Bobby Harden.
And little Dale said, why you drive so mean? He said, son, that ain't a car, that's a racing machine. With Jason, son, and money.
He's hi, everyone. Welcome back to Fan Talk here on this Tuesday afternoon. Time now to talk a little NASCAR with our good buddy Rafe Judd. How are you?
I'm doing well, Bob.
Now, who sang that song?
Brooks and Dunn. Sunday Money.
That might be the best one yet.
I don't think
I've heard that.
I'm pretty sure that was the name of Dale Sr.'s boat, I believe.
Did some research.
Yep. I think that was. Sunday Money.
How are you?
I'm doing well. If my voice cracks, I apologize.
Well, we'll fit right in today.
Yeah.
You want a cough drop?
No, I'm good. I'm all well.
You're going to tell everybody why you're... voice is messed up?
Well, I mean, I went to the Jamie Johnson concert on Sunday night. And
where was that at?
At the Coliseum.
Okay.
And we stopped at Home Team. And I had some leftover pork rinds. And when I got home, I ate them too fast. And I choked. And
you've been hoarse since.
I've been hoarse, but they were so good. I mean, you couldn't help but try to just
jam them all
in there.
Did you call all 9, 7, something like that?
We weren't able to do nothing.
Maybe Aaron, my buddy Aaron?
Well, my wife just beat me up trying to get them up and got them up. Now I've got a sore throat for a couple days.
There you go. Well, we haven't done our home team read. You went there for lunch?
I did, brother.
I noticed leftovers, no... gifts for the host here.
It was a home run today.
What'd you eat today?
I had the green chili brisket quesadilla.
Is that good?
What? I might go get me another one.
Can you put Alabama white sauce on that
thing? I did that. I did the sour cream. I did that. I love their red barbecue sauce on it. Yeah,
There you go.
Smothered and covered. It was awesome. Very good.
Home team's good. If you're hungry tonight, head over to Home Team Barbecue. 3 locations here in Charleston, West Ashley, downtown Sullivan's Island. Also open in Columbia, down in Five Points, and in Greenville on Lawrence Road up there. And if you're going to Aspen, they got one there too.
I would love to check that one out.
Yeah,
you go.
Maybe it'll let us do the show. We can do a NASCAR show from Aspen Home Team.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would fit in perfectly, right?
It would work. We can make it work, Bob.
All right, if you have any questions for Rafe, 843-721-9500. Last weekend, they were in Loudoun, New Hampshire, and Saturday night, Christopher Bell won the Xfinity race, and also Saturday night, Chase Elliott won the final SRX race of the season at a packed house in Nashville.
Yeah, that was
at the fairgrounds, yeah.
That was a cool show. That was a really good show.
I've got some questions about XRS2 coming up. And then Sunday, Eric Almirola won the Foxwood Resort Casino 301. So right now, only 4 races left before the 16-driver playoff field is set. I want to go back to last week before we get started. We said about the report that NASCAR urged or nudged Hendrick Motorsports to change the noses of their car. Nobody was hotter than Hendrick Motorsports this past weekend. 4 drivers, 5 of the top 6 finishers.
Right.
I don't think that's a coincidence.
No, I don't think it is either, Bobby. And if there's not been a whole lot discussed about this, not a whole lot said.
I want an explanation.
Well, I gave a brief one last week, and I'll go.
Yeah, because we did it at the end of the show.
Yeah, I'll dig a little deeper. If you go back to last year, when Kevin Harvick, he and Denny Hamlin, but more so Kevin Harvick and some of the Fords really had it going on. And NASCAR, this is an opinion. NASCAR caught wind of what was happening. At the end of the year, they changed the way that they teched the cars. Some of the points that they were looking at, they maybe added to or subtracted from what they were doing, which is well within the sanctioning body's rights. It's well within the rule book. And going forward, the next year, we're all asking ourselves, you know, what happened to Kevin Harvick? What happened to Kevin Harvick end of the year? What's happened to Kevin Harvick this year? What's happened to the Fords this year? They changed the way that they were teching the cars. Now, I don't think...
And by the way, in mid-season...
No. This started at Daytona. And the teams were aware. What they haven't... Here's where I have an axe to grind with NASCAR. So, Harvick goes out. This season doesn't run well, okay? They were able to find an area in the rear of the cars, in the rear fender wells of the cars, that would add some 40 to 80 points of downforce and side force. Okay, NASCAR didn't take it away, but they changed the way that they were teching the cars, which indirectly took that advantage from them. Okay, now Hendrick comes along. They did all their homework. And they figured out and managed a way to work within that tiny little sandbox they have. This is an opinion. So NASCAR more than likely got brought to their attention by somebody. Check this out. And instead of disqualifying them or changing everything they do, they suggested that it would be in their best interest to... let's play within the rules that are set forth. And you venture too far out of the sandbox, here's your warning. And they have conformed, and it has made the same amount of difference in their stuff as it's done in the Harvick and them guys have had. That is total an opinion. In the next couple years, we'll find out what happened. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to be close. I'll be within 80 or 90% of what I'm saying is what I'm thinking. I could be wrong, but I don't believe so.
Well, there you go. Kyle Larson, Ross Chastain, Alex Bowman, three Chevrolets in the top 10. But again,
you have four.
The top six.
Harvick.
Five Fords and a Toyota.
Yep. And Eric Almirola has not done nothing. I'm glad he won. It was a good win for him. I'm not saying no one's cheating. I'm not saying none of this. Christopher Bell won the Xfinity race. He had a really good car. They have a good setup. This is his racetrack. I can kind of see that one. Some of this other stuff's a little jaded. These next four races that we go to will be really interesting to see how this continues to play out, two of which are road course, Michigan and Daytona. So we'll see how the rest of this mess plays out.
Well, we'll get to some of the shenanigans that went on on Sunday.
Poor Kyle.
Maybe not shenanigans, but bad decisions, I thought.
Yes.
Very bad decisions that I thought. But we did have a lot of action off the track. Harrison Burton now will replace Matt DiVendetto for Woods Brothers Racing in 2022. So Matt DiVendetto pretty much out.
Yep. And he joins Ross Chastain, Kurt Busch, and now Ryan Newman, which is official now. So
right. Kyle Larson signed a one-year contract extension with Hendrick Motorsports. Austin Cindric, he's going to drive the number two Penske Mustang in 2022. Brad Keselowski leaving the team at the end of this season. But he just announced today they're joining Roush Fenway Racing. He's going to be a co-owner and a driver in 2022.
As well as being ahead of their competition. So
right.
That was, in my opinion, far as the sport goes, that is the best news we could have heard, because Brad Keselowski, Not only is he a great driver, a champion, love him or hate him, but he is really someone that has helped the sport along as we go as far on the engineering side of things. He's one of those guys. So for me, that just it makes me happy.
Right.
He's not making a step backwards. I think it's more of a lateral step, given the fact that we're having the new car, and he's going to get a piece of the ownership stake, which I think will only increase as time goes. So
well, you know, the
good announcement.
Right. And the problem I see with these guys that are going to be left out is you might have 37, 38 teams in a race. There's only 15 of them that are even competitive.
Right.
And so, and those guys seem to be going young, the 15 competitive teams, and kind of these guys have no other option where to go.
Right. And that's the sad part about it. The seats that are available are not seats that, you know, that are good, hardcore competitive rides.
Right.
But I do believe that next year changes all that. It's unfortunate that Ryan Newman is out of a seat. I mean, I still think he has a lot to share from an engineering standpoint, a lot to share from an experience standpoint, as well as Kurt Busch. They have proven themselves time and time again. As far as Matt DiBeto goes, he's a fan favorite, but I understand the decision that was made. I don't necessarily like it. I don't think he's ever been given a fair chance anywhere he's been. I think he has always overachieved, but this is a business. These are business decisions, not personal.
Right.
So I hope DiBeto lands on his feet somewhere, and I would love to see Kurt and Ryan continuing in the sport, but I think their days are numbered.
All right, let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on with Rafe.
Hey, Ray, how you doing?
I'm good, sir.
I was just wondering, curious, trucks, are they different from the car standpoint? I mean, are they like fuel-injected cam, or they got the carburetor? I know the engines sound like more powerful than really than a car, but I was curious, do they still use the same carb deal, or do they use fuel injection?
Everything now is fuel injected or throttle body, and they're
and
very.
Would they be able?
Go ahead.
Would they be able to race on dirt like the cars, or?
Yeah. The trucks are the ones that started racing on dirt a few years ago at Eldora. And they also raced Knoxville this year and Bristol at dirt. And as we go forward, we may even see a third dirt race in that division. So a lot of good things, a lot of positive things going on in the whole world of NASCAR, and a lot of
That's
stuff
cool.
changing. So it would be fun to see what the future holds for that.
Okay, thank you, Ray.
All right, thank you, Dave. All right, let's take a break, and we'll be right back. Now I'm going to bitch about everything from here on out.
That's okay. I'm going to probably jump in there with you.
Not everything, but some of it.
Was bad.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Fan Talk here on WTMZ 98.9 FM, 94.7 FM, and 910 AM.
Traffic brought to you by Gerald's Tires and Brakes. With 7 convenient locations to serve you, stop in today for your free brake inspection at Gerald's Tires and Brakes.
Tons of heavy traffic, Liberty Hall at Lindy Creek. There's an accident. If you're traveling on the interstate westbound near the King Street overpass or near Aviation or Montague, there are accidents. A wreck 78 near Midview. 78 is shut down. Inbound to James Island on the James Island Connector on the downtown side. Reports of a wreck. Camp at Folly, an accident. Savannah Highway, the 61 split at the bottom of the Ashley River Bridge. Marquardt westbound on the Don Hope Bridge and at Ashley River. There are wrecks. Wentworth near King. Rivers at Eagle. Ashley Phosphate at Windsor Hill, Garden Way at Long Point, and North 17 near Boone Hall Farms Market. Palmetto Breeze is in full swing. It's the perfect time to catch the breeze and enjoy daily Charleston Harbor sales, including Sunday Funday. Palmetto Breeze embarks from lively Shem Creek and fills up fast. Tickets online at palmettobreeze.com. Get yours now and don't miss the boat. That's the latest Tri-County Traffic Update. I'm Heather Daniels.
This traffic report brought to you by the Concrete Rose Foundation, uplifting the youth of the community through sports and mentoring. Visit ConcreteRoseFoundation.com to sign up for the West Ashley Junior Wildcats football team, ages 5 through 12.
Low country weather. Brought to you by Joy Law Firm. Insurance company not playing fair? Let Joy Law Firm level the playing field. Just call Joy, 888-8888.
Here's your afternoon forecast. Cloudy with a thunderstorm in the area, a high around 82. Cloudy tonight with a low around 75. Wednesday, a thunderstorm around in the p.m., a high around 87. Looking ahead, scattered and isolated thunderstorms through the week. Partly cloudy this weekend with highs near 90. With your Lowcountry forecast, I'm John Dixon.
Car accident? Because getting more matters? Just call Joy. If you've received a quick offer from the insurance company, don't be relieved. Be suspicious. You can bet it's not enough. Not by a long shot. At the Joy Law Firm, we've gotten clients 10, 20, and even 50 times more than the insurance company's first offer. That's serious money that you can't afford to do without. Because getting more matters, just call Joy. 843-888-8888. Attorney Ken Harrell, 5861 Rivers Avenue, North Charleston. Past results do not guarantee future outcomes.
Kitchen cabinets are here at Carolina Building Materials. The new line of Jarlin cabinetry just arrived, and Carolina Building Materials has you covered. Beautiful, high-quality cabinets that fit every lifestyle and budget. Locally owned and operated, Carolina Building Materials is fully stocked with all of your replacement windows, cabinets, and doors. Visit CarolinaBuildingMaterials.com or stop by the showroom at 2440 Meeting Street. Call 843-744-2575. Carolina Building Materials.
Hi, I'm Russell Wilson. Each year, millions of domestic violence victims stay in abusive situations because they fear for the safety of their pet. Today, less than 10% of domestic violence shelters allow pets. That's why the Banfield Foundation supports programs that help people and pets find safety together. Because when we help pets, we help people too. To learn more and get involved, visit banfieldfoundation.org/safertogether.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Major key alert. Don't ever play yourself. Life is like school. You will be tested, so pass it.
Learn the real major keys to getting to college at GetSchooled.com.
Stay focused. Now that's a major key alert.
Brought to you by Get Schooled and the Ad Council.
Now, back to Bobby Harden.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Fan Talk here on this Tuesday afternoon, talking NASCAR with Rafe Judd, who's all full up on Home Team Barbecue.
Oh, boy, man. I could go back for round two in the lead, Bob. I'll go buy you one.
I want to go back. I want to get, if you have any questions for Rafe, 843-721-9500. I want to go back to the XRX race on Saturday. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Well done.
Race was very good. It was great to see that crowd in Nashville. Nationals, they've had two races now. They had a cup race. They had this. They've shown out.
At two different places, yeah. Bob. The Nashville Fairgrounds, man, I've been blessed to have been there so many times racing there in what was the All-American or the Nashville 400. At the time was the premier short track race of the year. That's where everybody wanted to, similar to and probably at the time a little bit elevated more than the Snowball Derby. And you go and you compete there and you make that race is a feat. But to go there, be a part of that, and the places was always packed. And, man, and that place has so much history. And there's so many race car drivers that have come out of Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Michael Waltrip, Darrell Waltrip, Bobby Hamilton, Jeremy Mayfield, Sterling Marlin, and the list goes, Marty Robbins, the list goes on and on, Cuckoo Marlin, the list goes on and on and on of people that you know, it's a place where you had to almost like a rite of passage. You went through there to get to the next level. And I don't think that history is going to get left behind. The SMI group, I know Dale Jr. is helping do a lot of groundwork getting that race back to
well, they mentioned something Saturday night about they promised a neighborhood that the race would be over by a certain time.
Right.
So there's obviously some pushback in the neighborhood.
There's a lot of pushback, and there's not a little, Bob. There's a lot. There's a young lady there. I don't believe she's from this country that was heading this thing up and does not understand the history and, you know, that racetrack was
right
there first, and they've been racing. I think the racetrack, and I did not realize this, I think it started in 1900 or 1901 is how long that racetrack has been there. It reminds me of, you know, a guy's got a hog farm, and four doors down, the guy sells his 150-acre farm, and they build a neighborhood in it and get mad because the hog droppings stink. I mean, that's dumb. What was there first?
Right.
That's what we need to look at. This country has made a large move and maneuver, especially right here where me and you live, about those types of things. But the history of that town, that racetrack, and for all the motorsports fans, not just there, but all around this country, that people need to stand up, support, and realize. If you get aggravated for a couple, 3 hours every other week or twice a year, ever how they're going to do this deal, I'm sorry. That racetrack was there when you moved in.
Right.
That port across this water right here, it was there when they built those neighborhoods. And dadgummit, if it's going to help your community, then you need to support it, embrace it, or shut up and don't worry about it and move.
Don't hold back now. Don't beat around the bush.
Let's open up the conversation, right? Yeah, here we go.
We need to get you on Nashville racing radio.
It just aggravates me, Bobby. I mean, they race there every Saturday night. I mean, what do you care if you're bringing in a couple of weekends a year if they're going to run the Xfinity or the truck or even bring the Cup Series back?
I'm guessing it's an old area. And
it it is. I've been there a million times. I know when they started growing and growing and grow around
right
it, you know. But embrace this as part of the history. It's part of the town that you chose to
miss. Well, it's like summer down to Birdstown. You know, you got a bunch of old houses, got real popular. They're really expensive. People move in, and then they bitch about the bars and restaurants that have been there before.
But they had been there, Bobby. They've been sitting there for how long?
I get you.
That gets my motor running right there, brother.
Hey, I want the spoilers on the SRX cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they remind me of the old Super B.
Yeah.
That came out years ago. What is the purpose of that?
There were two purposes, I think, here. One was looks, to kind of take it in a different direction from all the other late model cars and different things didn't run. And two, they were able to incorporate some differences and some handling characteristics with that, and have used it well, in my opinion. So it was kind of a twofold thing. It kind of set, I think more so than anything, it set the car apart from anything else
right
that's racing. To
so
make
you think it
difference
might be probably maybe more for looks?
I believe that, but they were able to incorporate some handling
right
things
okay
and work with it there. And if they ever decided maybe to take and run this on a little bit bigger racetrack, it would be a very big help.
Paul Tracy, what's his deal?
Well, he's rich, he's spoiled, he's fat, he's an idiot, and he's not much of a race car driver these days.
Okay, then.
But he's good for the show. He's good for the show.
Not as much this past Saturday, but Saturday before last. All he did was whine all night long.
I'm pretty sure Michael Waltrip was going to beat him up, and I'm pretty sure he probably could.
Right.
I don't know. If I raced with Paul Tracy, he'd have been sitting in the stands eating a cheeseburger and drinking a Coca-Cola, because that's where he'd have wound up if he'd have raced me the way he raced some of them people. And I mean, some of the things he's doing, and I know this is kind of a show, it's not WWE, but you got a little bit more freedom. But he's an idiot, Bobby. He suffers from imbecilia. He is an imbecile. an imbecile.
Right. By the way, Chase Elliott, Bill Elliott. Bill Elliott actually led the race.
Thank goodness. That poor fella has struggled.
But I'm looking at it. He hasn't done anything all year.
No.
I'm thinking that was a setup. a little for TV.
It was.
I mean, he's finished last. I went back. He's finished last in almost every one of these races.
Well, three of them he had issues with the car. I really believed that when I saw Bill Elliott's name, I was like, and Bobby Labonte, I was like, those two guys are going to make some major noise. And Bobby Labonte has made a little bit, and Bill Elliott has made nothing.
But all of a sudden, he comes out of nowhere in the last race of the year with his son racing.
I don't know.
It
was a good show, though. It was a good show.
I'm kind of sad it's over with because it really gave me something really entertaining to watch on Saturday night.
But they accomplished every one of their goals. We talked about this before it started. It was the when they were doing it, what time of year.
Right.
A prime time on regular TV. And I don't know. I haven't seen exactly what the ratings were. It was a two-hour show. The fans had a lot of input. They changed some stuff around. I don't know why Danica's not finished up the season. She was horrible in the booth. I mean, I appreciate her being there and adding to some things. Alan Beswick, the guy that ran the whole, what a wonderful job. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that was going on. I wish we could see like a little documentary so all the race fans could appreciate some of the big-time names that are there, that are driver coaches, that are crew chiefs, where they came from. Tony Urey Jr. and his outfit were working on the cars, building the cars. Ken Schrader was a driver coach. There's a lot of big names that we only caught bits and pieces. I'd like to see maybe a year-end documentary about the whole thing. And I think next year, Bobby, it was just enough to give you a taste. Next year, I don't think they need to make it much bigger. But just keep the integrity of this nice summer shootout.
Do it in the summer when there's nothing else on. Yeah, except baseball. Yeah, the NBA and the NBA on one TV, and I had the race. It's given me something to watch on Saturday nights. And real quick before we go to break, Alan Beswick, you just mentioned him. He's got that Dick Clark syndrome going on. I mean, he's almost 60 years old, and he looks like he's 20.
Yeah, I think he's been nipped and tucked once or twice.
Well, I mean, hey.
But he's he's got an awesome voice, and there's no one, and I'm telling you, second to none, maybe Mike Joy,
right,
knows any more about racing. I mean, he worked for MRN for years. I love his perspective. I love his voice. I love his excitement. And he has got a perfect race, a perfect face for TV, and he had a wonderful voice for radio. And I don't think they could have got a better person to do what he did.
No,
I thought he
he's
really
doing good.
It was well done. The production was really good.
I mean, he's been around a long time. He looks great. Anyway, all right, we'll take a break, and then we're going to tackle that fiasco that was Sunday.
How'd you like to have been driving that pace car?
No.
When Kyle Busch lost his mind.
We'll get into that. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to Fan Talk here on WTMZ, 98.9 FM, 94.7 FM, and 910 AM.
Charleston Sports Report is brought to you by the Joy Law Firm. The first two of more than a dozen preseason college football award lists were released today, and Clemson, South Carolina, and Coastal Carolina were all represented. Four players from these three schools were on the watch list for the Maxwell Award, going to the best player in the country. Four more were named to the Bednarik Award list, which goes to the best defensive player in the country. NFL training camps begin today with five teams jumping in the water, but with the Green Bay Packers, the water's still cold as Aaron Rodgers turned down a two-year extension, which would have tied the reigning MVP to the Packers for five more seasons, making him the highest-paid quarterback and player in football. In the NBA, one trend that has perhaps been under-discussed is that the Milwaukee Bucks are one win away from the title in large part because their offense has been really, really good. The Bucks in the finals have poured in 117.7 points per 100 possessions, a mark that would have edged the Brooklyn Nets for number one in the regular season. With this Charleston Sports Radio update, I'm Terry Bass.
This is Paul Senior of Orange County Choppers. One thing bikers have in common, we don't put up with no BS. That's why after a motorcycle crash, you should call these guys, the Joy Law Firm.
Take it from Paul Senior. At the Joy Law Firm, we'll shoot you straight every time. If you don't need a lawyer, we'll tell you. If you do, we'll help you.
And that's no BS. Motorcycle crash? Just call Joy.
843-888-8888. Paid spokesperson.
Attorney Ken Harrell, 5861 Rivers Avenue, North Charleston.
When it comes to protecting what matters most, it makes sense to choose an insurance agent that's a part of your community. Your local Allstate agent, Philip Bradley, knows the ins and outs of both owning and protecting a home in your neighborhood, which means Philip can help you get the protection you want that fits you and your life. Are you in good hands? Contact the Bradley Insurance Agency at 843-881-AUTO today for a free quote, subject to terms, conditions, and availability.
You should be driving a Honda from Stokes Honda, from Stokes Honda.
This is Gary Floyd, Stokes Honda on Rivers Avenue, with exciting news. For the first time ever, we're offering 0% APR financing up to 60 months. Now's your chance to buy a new Honda with an interest-free loan for 60 months. Over 450 new Hondas on the ground and hundreds more on the way. So we'll do whatever it takes to make a deal. With up to 200% of KBB for your trade in any condition, that's double your trading value. And exclusive of that offer, Stokes Honda will match your down payment up to $7,000 for the purchase of any new Honda. Or you can buy now and pay later with no payments up to a year. Folks, don't make a $1,000 mistake. You must be driving a Honda from Stokes Honda at 8650 Rivers Avenue or online at StokesHondaNorth.com.
You should be driving a Honda from Stokes Honda.
Max down payment match on new pilot elite. Max trade over allowance $4,000. No payments with 20% down plus tax tag. Include $499.50 administration fee with approved credit. Offers don't combine.
Right now, South Carolina residents can get free tuition for more than 70 programs at Trident Technical College. That's right, free. It's no gimmick and easy to qualify. Just apply to the college, choose an eligible major, complete the FAFSA, and register for a minimum of 6 credit hours. Free tuition programs are available in engineering, manufacturing, maintenance, and technical trades. Free tuition programs are also available in culinary, hospitality, health and human services, as well as information technology. Get the skills you need to be work ready. Whether you're just starting out or looking for a career change, this is the perfect opportunity to get a quality education without student debt. So what are you waiting for? Visit us online or in person to learn more about free tuition programs. We're here for you. Your success, your future, your college. Visit tridenttech.edu and enroll today.
You're listening to ESPN Fan Talk with host Bobby Harden.
All right, everyone, welcome back to Fan Talk here on this Tuesday afternoon, talking NASCAR with Rafe Judd. 843-721-9500 is the number to call. Moving on to the Cup race, we'll kind of go in order.
Yeah.
Because I got a bunch of notes that I was texting myself, notes, so I wouldn't forget them. Before the race started, when all the cars were lined up, a lot of the cars had air tanks on the side of the car. What is that for?
They let them set the air pressure before they go out. So they got their little air tanks ready to go, and you can put air in the tires.
Well, how much would the air drop if they, in other words, if they had the air pressure set, rolled it out, sat down?
Big difference. Really, Saturday night at Florence, the sun was out. We had the little tent set up, but one of our cars, or my car that they were driving, the right rear tire gained air. And when we went out for practice, I had to go around and redo the air. And then it rained, and I went around and I had everything ready to go. And I had to add 2 pounds of air pressure and a pound of air pressure around the car because the temperature does make a difference. And believe it or not, a pound or two of air pressure – when you fire off, makes a big difference. So they allow the teams to, you can hold the stuff. It's got to be out on there so it can be visually seen.
All right, moving on. The race started. It started raining. Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr. Got their cars messed up. They were radioing to them. that it was raining. Nobody stopped the race. Finally took the wreck to stop the race. And to me, I don't know about you, this is on NASCAR.
Yeah,
this is on NASCAR, and they should have let those guys work on their cars.
What I believe, yes.
During that two-hour rain delay.
What I believe, that why Kyle Busch, and I hate to jump to number two to get to this, but I don't believe that the drivers felt like the racetrack was ready to go when they dropped the green flag to begin with.
Right.
It was very questionable. And about lap three or four, things were okay. You could tell that there was some the guys were being hesitant. But I will give NASCAR one thing. As they started complaining on lap four or five, ever what it was, they're trying to get around to communicate, get back to push the button to throw the caution, which they were getting ready to do when Kyle Busch spun out.
They say they were getting ready to do.
I believe that, but and why would you have a rain on one side of the racetrack, not the other, at a mile racetrack? That ain't but a half a mile. That's what happened. And I'm not sitting here standing on NASCAR's side. I think it was crazy that after two or three laps, when they were listening to chatter, they might should have just went ahead and threw the caution then, and just to err on the side of caution. I know they're trying to get the race in, but it's not their fault that they ain't got lights.
Well, we had a 2-hour rain delay.
I know.
Now you could tell me none of that showed up on radar.
But here's the thing, Bobby, and here's why they won't. Well, yeah, they showed the radar. It was on top of them. But we've over the years, we've started a many a race like that and raced through it. This was a unnormal set of circumstances, an anomaly, sun, the moon, and the stars right. lined up to rain
but
on one side of
the track. But if you remember the first four or five laps were just the cars going around
right
in circles.
Yeah.
So they knew there was a problem there. My problem is, okay, all right, somebody messed up or it's nobody's fault, however you think it, but in a situation like that, they should have let Kyle Busch, Truex, and Denny Hamlin work on their cars. They would have had 2 hours to work on their cars.
I agree. Here's why they do not. Here's why they don't. Because if you give a racer and you stay and you kick your rule book open for anything, it's going to start. Well, so-and-so caused this wreck. And you wouldn't let me work on my car because y'all made a bad decision.
Well, let them all work on them.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm telling you why they don't. I don't understand on a red flag condition why if a man has a trouble or if he wants to change his car around, let him work on them.
Yeah.
You know, if you got to hire the reason why they don't, Bob, is because you don't have officials around there. If guys are jacking with the car and racers will do things they're not supposed to do. That's just the end of that discussion. I'm telling you, I know they do. I know I would. If there's something I can get away with, I would do it. Same thing, but different. Why they don't let the guys work on the car? They made a terrible decision. They should have let Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin, or if anybody suffered any consequences from the bad decision, go ahead and do the best you can do.
It doesn't have to be every red flag situation.
I agree.
But you had three of your top drivers get involved in this. And Kyle Busch, and of course, Kyle Busch, I know he was mad. First, he comes out there, and he runs into the back of the pace car.
Yeah.
And I remember the announcer said, if I'm Kyle, I don't think I'd do that if I was him.
He didn't care.
Now, it came out today, no fine or anything for that.
There's going to be something that we probably won't know about. but if I was the pace car driver, okay, here's why Kyle Busch was mad, and I don't know this to be fact again, but the pace car guy is who NASCAR is communicating with to, hey, is the racetrack good? Is the racetrack good? Is the racetrack good? And he gives the all clear.
Right.
Well, he ain't racing. He's riding around in the pace car. That's, I mean, what a jackass decision. Why don't you radio down to Kyle and the other guy on the pole or the man two or three cars back? And get an opinion while you're riding around there. So I think Kyle was mad at NASCAR, but madder at the pace car driver for giving the all clear to begin with. It was twofold.
Right.
Now, you can't
I thought
do
it
that.
Was, I thought it was Kyle being Kyle.
It was Kyle being Kyle, but I think Kyle had a point. But I think Kyle probably stepped over the line a little bit. I mean, we've seen guys pull up to the pace car and bump them for a joke or to get debris off the grill. But now Kyle was doing it because he was ticked off. I think now we might have a little a situation going forward about ever touching a pace car.
Then they say,
I would say we would get something handed down.
To me, that's like touching an official in a stickball game.
Agreed. You can't do that. I would have thought, really, when that happened, I really would have thought they would have sat him out the rest of the race. If his car hadn't broke, it wouldn't have surprised
him. He got a little pouty and said he wasn't going to drive that.
And yeah, I heard him.
Yes, piece but, of you-know-what car.
But he did not do bad on his interview because they kept messing with him. And he said, I don't want to get in trouble. So I'll give him that because he got done dirty.
Well, I saw today that apparently he did not get fined for that.
He probably didn't get fined monetarily, Bob, but it won't happen again this year.
All right, they restarted the race after the rain delay. Joey Logano had trouble. He comes in. The pit road was closed.
Yeah.
Why was it closed? You had cars sitting there for 2 hours. You had cars that needed work. Why was pit road closed? What is the thought process?
I would
think if there was a time for it to be open, this would be the time.
In the tower, when you're going around and all that mess, you need to make sure pit road is clear of this, that, the next thing, that everybody understands that the pit road is closed. Once everybody gets that, everybody's settled, they give them a little bit of time to get settled, then they, in my opinion, should have opened pit road up for anybody that did not realize that they could have had a problem or something happened or they got into one of those guys' debris. Because we can't see that watching on TV, but when they wreck like that, mess goes everywhere. And you could easily pick something up. I think that's another area, and I think that's a very good point. That's something that needs to be looked at. That when you're coming back off a red flag, that you should immediately open pit road. Immediately. As soon as you pull out, you go from a red condition to a yellow condition, and that pit road light should be green. Because everybody's got fair notice. We're getting ready to go back on the yellow. And maybe give them one lap to let everybody get everything cleared and all that. And then open pit road as quick as you can.
Because you've got guys that looked at all the cars, probably finding stuff they needed to do. And Joey Logano pretty much couldn't go any further. He had to come in, and it cost him two laps.
Yep. That's another issue of things that need to be looked at. And things, those types of rules, Bobby, remind me of golf. Some of the dumb rules they have. That's dumb. I mean, you should tell the guys, in 5 minutes, we're going on the racetrack. Get all your crap clear. Safety officials, get ready. Everybody, NASCAR officials, safety officials, teams, be ready. Pit road's going to be hot. As soon as that last car gets out on the racetrack, pit road's hot and it's open. So, you know, and those are the things that need to be shored up. Now, I don't want to slap NASCAR in the face for not throwing the caution on lap five with these circumstances, but I would love for them to take this and learn from it. And as they used to get the driver's feedback or get a driver in that pace car, somebody in that pace car driving it that is racing every week and understands what's going
on. All right, we got to take a break. We got one more segment to go. We'll be right back and listen to Fan Talk here on WTMZ, 98.9 FM, 94.7 FM, and 910 AM.
Traffic brought to you by Gerald's Tires and Brakes. With 7 convenient locations to serve you, stop in today for your free brake inspection at Gerald's Tires and Brakes.
Use caution and expect heavy traffic, especially on major routes, home, the interstate westbound, the Mark Park westbound, and some of your area bridges, the Ravenel Bridge inbound to the interstate in downtown, a slow go. We have reports of accidents on the interstate westbound at Montague and at Aviation. Camp at Folly, there's a wreck. Rivers at Eagle Landing. Ashley Phosphate at Windsor Hill still clearing. An accident. Rivers at McMillan. Ladson at Palmetto Commerce, a wreck. 61 at Ashley Point and two accidents on Meeting Street. One at Brigade, the other at Shepherd. Conover Law Firm wants to help. Car wreck, train wreck, and even wrongful deaths via auto accident. Contact the Conover Law Firm. Visit CraigConoverLawFirm.com. And remember, don't get run over. Call Conover. That's the latest Tri-County Traffic Update. I'm Heather Daniels.
This traffic report provided to you by South Carolina Federal Credit Union. Recently recognized as the best financial institution by readers of the Post and Courier. Visit scfederal.org, South Carolina Federal Credit Union.
Low Country Weather.
Brought to you by Garfield Jewelers on Savannah Highway in West Ashley. Expect to be impressed.
Here's your afternoon forecast. Cloudy with a thunderstorm in the area, a high around 82. Cloudy tonight with a low around 75. Wednesday, a thunderstorm around in the PM, a high around 87. Looking ahead, scattered and isolated thunderstorms through the week. Partly cloudy this weekend with highs near 90. With your Low Country forecast, I'm John Dixon.
During these uncertain times, Garfield Jewelers cares about your safety, the special hours, and the convenience of appointment shopping. Garfield's is here to celebrate life's biggest moments with our classic one-of-a-kind estate jewelry, our unique diamond engagement rings, and everything beautiful under the sun. Now more than ever, serving you safely is our pleasure at Garfield Jewelers, Savannah Highway, across from Nissan. Expect to be impressed.
The Real Estate Lowdown from Godown.
Hi, I'm local real estate investor Daniel Godown, co-owner of CRP Real Estate and Charleston Rental Properties. Today's residential real estate investor needs a turnkey investment solution to generate passive income. That's CRP Real Estate. We're a top-rated local team of licensed agents, home improvement contractors, and property managers, offering a streamlined service to get you the best return on your investment. Contact us today.
CRP Real Estate at 843-594-1031 and crprealestate.com.
Hannah complained of a headache. It was a rhabdomyosarcoma. The tumor was very aggressive, and it very quickly became clear that St. Jude was the ultimate place to be. St. Jude is an asset to the world. I think it's the kind of place that could teach the world a couple of lessons about how to treat people. If those lessons could be learned, this world could be a better place.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
No one in AA said to me, why would a nice young girl with such a great future drink so much? They told me about themselves, and I found out that there were a lot of other people who were just like me. They drank only because the desire to drink was stronger than anything else. They didn't say to me, if only you'd do this, you wouldn't drink. In AA, they said, welcome. Come in and sit down. We know how you feel. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
In the Charleston area, call 843-723-9633.
Now, back to Bobby Harden.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to you. Fan Talk here on this Tuesday afternoon final segment of the day, talking NASCAR with our good buddy Rafe Judd. All right, I'm not through beating up NASCAR yet.
Let's do it, boy.
All right, when they restarted, wait a minute, got to the end of the race. Why did they call the race over? They said, there's 19 laps left. They said, race is over in 10 laps. You saw it, I saw it. When the race ended, the daylight hadn't changed. 5 minutes to run those 9 laps.
Provided they were giving themselves a cushion if we had a caution. I get that decision. I'm going to disagree with you on this. Over years, we've seen different times when we are fighting against darkness. And I think after all the mistakes that NASCAR had made that day and some things that didn't go their way, it was probably in their best interest to give the drivers and the crews plenty of notice that we're going to cut this thing short. Here you go. They were giving themselves a cushion in the event that something would have happened to have prolonged it any longer. That's my opinion.
Right at the end of that idiotic truck race a couple of weeks ago.
Exactly.
It took like 8 hours. You know, one thing I've noticed a lot, and I don't know why, maybe it's the TV, maybe it's NBC doing a better job But they show a lot of the pit crews.
Right.
And man, I don't think Fox did that much, but NBC, and man, those things are, I was amazed. You got a guy that comes around from the far side. There's a guy that perfectly rolls the tire to him, boom, right in place. You got another guy that rolls the tire. The guy kicks it out of the way. I mean, those guys have to practice a lot, don't they?
Every day for hours upon hours upon hours to do what they do.
And I mean, the guy changes to far right, runs around the front of the car. There's a guy on the wall over there, perfectly rolls in the tire.
And the next guy.
And he gets it like in one move, puts it on. It's amazing to watch.
It's a ballet, Bobby, and these guys don't get enough credit, man. That's a good point. I'm glad you see that, and you're right.
I haven't noticed that much, and I just think NBC may be showing more of that.
It could, and they should. I mean, because we all know how big of a deal getting it done on pit road matters. You don't have to go any further back than last week in Atlanta when Kyle Busch beat his brother in and out of pit road that started off that chain of events. Now, that's Kyle getting in and getting out quicker, but Kurt Busch's team actually beat Kyle Busch's team the actual time it took to take the pit stop. So every bit of that is so important if you're looking to win a race or, most importantly, winning that championship. Great point, man. And those guys are athletes, 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 the drivers and those crew members. You've got to be an athlete.
I mean, the guy's doing one thing and he kicks the tire. I mean, I just thought it was really cool to watch, and maybe I just haven't paid enough attention, but I meant to bring that up last week. Saw it more this week. All right, NASCAR taking a couple weeks off.
For the Olympics.
Basically for the Olympics, not that NASCAR's in the Olympics, but Olympics are on NBC and their networks are going to be all tied up. You said you had some things you wanted to get to.
No, I didn't get to do it last week. I wanted to thank and encourage people to check out Brandon Lorick. He is on the Somerville Speedway Facebook page and like what he's doing. If anybody has anything to share, please get in touch with him. He's doing a documentary, and I usually don't post much on Facebook, but I just posted basically it was a blessing for me to go out there and share with him some of my stories and memories of that place. And I wanted to thank him and his team on air for what they're doing. It's just, and I know Dale Jr. has his deal with Lost Speedways and this type of thing, but, you know, for race fans, people don't, or sports fans don't understand how important Somerville Speedway was to the Lowcountry in this community for decades. That was a lot of entertainment before things boomed, and hockey and baseball and all these things before the Coliseum come along. That was a major source of entertainment. I just wanted to make sure he got his due. I wanted to thank my man Jamie Lee, who drove my car to a second place finish in Florence. We're going to Dillon Saturday night. We're going to make it two in a row up there. And thank Dennis and Action Motorsports for that. And give my boy Scotty Peake, the second best Carolina Gamecock fan in this town, a shout out.
All right,
we got off the
there
air.
You go. When they come back, there'll be a Watkins Glen. You have a truck race and the Xfinity race on Saturday. The Cup race at 3:00 on Sunday. But no NASCAR this weekend or next weekend. So that would be August what?
8th.
8th, yeah, I think it is.
I think that's what it is.
7th and 8th is when. NASCAR will be back, and I'm sure those guys need a little break. They haven't had much of a break.
Yeah, and think about this. They're going to go on a 14-week run when they come back off this two-week break. It's good and bad. I don't mind a week break, but I think I heard something, how many it had been several years since they had 2 weeks off in a row. We'll see if it's a good or bad thing. I think there's a lot of good momentum. The silly season is up and going, so there's a lot to talk about, and it all kind of gets dead and gets silented for the next 2 weeks. We'll see if they can pick up where they left off. If I'm NASCAR, I just want to get Loudon behind me. And there's a couple of drivers that need to do this or that or the next thing. Gives the guys a good opportunity to recharge their batteries, take a little bit of time off, and get ready for that 14-week stretch.
There you go. So, no NASCAR for 2 weeks. One more thing I want to... You know what looks goofy? Dale Jr. making him wear a tie.
Right.
He looks like the little 9-year-old kid going to church on Sunday. Doesn't want to wear a tie, but mama makes him, you know, wear a tie.
But at least he took his, take his glasses off.
Here's a clip-on. I mean, he basically got tan jeans on. Why does he have to wear a tie?
I don't know. Or a sport coat. Why can't he just wear a shirt? He'd be fine. He does a wonderful
job. I would be willing to bet that tie is a clip-on.
I would be willing to bet you're 100%. I wouldn't bet against you.
Can you even still – Brent doesn't even know what a clip-on tie is.
Oh, I do know what a clip-on tie is. I've had to rock a couple.
Do they still have clip-on ties?
I'm sure they do. I've phased out of that point in my life, but I'm sure they do.
It just reminded me of the little kid – whose mama makes him wear a tie to church.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least he got it jacked up to here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he just doesn't look right.
No, he does not. But he did take his glasses off.
Yeah.
Because I know you hollered about it a couple weeks ago.
He needs to get contacts, too.
Absolutely.
So, appreciate it as always, man.
Nope, thank you. And I'll talk to you in a week or two.
There you go. If we have an Olympics.
Yes, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
So,
Team USC and Go Bucks tonight. Chris Middleton, Go Bucks. I'll be watching.
We'll have that on 98.9 FM NBA Finals tonight. Ooh. Don't forget Padres and Braves, 7 o'clock on 94.7 FM and 9:10 AM. So, there you go. Also, on YouTube tonight, Orioles and Rays, that is the all-girl crew.
Oh, very nice. Going to be doing that game.
So, awesome. If you get YouTube, you can watch that game there. So, everybody have a good night. Appreciate everybody calling. Appreciate everybody listening. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.